Greetings from Earth, and welcome to the Creative Cosmos. I'm your host, Christopher Moores. Broadcasting live from beautiful Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Buddy, yes indeed, this is the Creative Cosmos Radio Show, and I am the host, Christopher Moores. Welcome, and I know from emails and communiques all across the board that there's more and more people tuning in, and I welcome that, and I welcome you joining us, and I feel great about all the growth at BBS Radio and all the shows that are coming on board. It's an exciting time, and I'm just glad to be alive and part of what's happening. And tonight's show I'm really excited about as well. I can't imagine putting together a show that had more packed into it. One of the most interesting topics that keeps coming up on websites all over the place is the topic of ascension. I think that's a big thing also of what we've been talking about on many of the radio shows. And I'm going to go over my basic take on what's happening with ascension, kind of a roadmap of the territory that I've traveled, and maybe some of what I've experienced can be of assistance to those of you who are also going through this process. And there are many stages of it, and many secrets along the way, and hopefully tonight we'll unlock some of those. It's really just information that we're bringing to the surface, shining the light on. There have been many people who have carried the torch of wisdom throughout history, and let's take a moment right now and just thank them, because they're still here with us in the singularity of life and existence. Let's thank those people who carried the truth through the dark ages and some of the scarier times of humanity. And speaking of thanks, I'd like to thank Douglas for all his hard work on the archives. I checked it out last night, and I was shocked and amazed and delighted. There are tons, just a field day of listening on there for those of you BBS radio fans out there. Dive in. There are so many shows and so much, so many interesting topics to check out. So thank you, Douglas, and thanks to Nevin for all his hard work on the board and getting BBS in professional shape, and to Don for being the spirit and inspiration behind it all. I told him maybe he's the center of the cyclone even, but thanks to everybody. And Amy and I are excited and looking forward to a time when we can assist in the expansion and taking over things that will help out and give everybody a chance to breathe and be free and be happy. Everyone's happy, but everybody can join in and participate in building what we're doing, and together we'll sustain it, and it will be beautiful as it is now. And stay tuned also for hour two tonight. We're going to have a great guest, Ron Searchy, from IndigoRising.net, and he's really interested in the ascension topic, and hopefully we can lead into a nice conversation with him about that, and then carry over to his work and how he meditates and shares that with others. And if you're out there listening tonight, you could call in and join in the conversation at any point. It's a toll-free number, 1-888-268-4313. Again, 1-888-268-4313. Or dial direct, 530-876-3222. All right, we are ready to begin. And I just took a moment to center myself and consider how we are going to move forward. We're going to start with 3D, and then we're going to go to the 4D, and then the 5D, and then the 6D dimensions, that is. So let's dive in with the 3D and where it all begins, life in the body. And this I sometimes refer to as the sons and daughters of God, or the creation, an aspect of the creation. And our body is a vehicle for life on earth. And in this body are the five senses. And for a huge part of the, or for the early part of our lives, and some of us for most of our lives, or all of our lives, we're dominated by the five senses, looking out and perceiving the world. And we become identified with the context that is built from what we are seeing. In other words, we are seeing ourselves in terms of limited time-space events that have occurred while we were in the body. And most of what we're taught in the beginning from family and television, and then later in education and religion, is involved in that world, that outer world, that community world that we share. And you can almost see that as an aesthetic, as a civilization aesthetic, a snapshot of life at one place, at one time. Now imagine how this has changed throughout history. And each person lives and thinks of themselves as part of what's going on around them. So really, most of the people on Earth think that way. But more and more people are starting to relax that constant gaze out and rest in their center, enabling themselves to see the next steps in our development. We have to make room inside ourselves to see subtler things. And the five sense perception colors our thinking as well. So also part of the third dimension is the mind, because the body and mind are intertwined. The body and mind are intertwined in this 3D world. So our thoughts that run around in our heads are a type of remembrance or reflection of what we perceive to be outside. but somehow we've internalized it. And then this stream of thinking that has been internalized from the external perception, we believe for a time has something to do with us, or perhaps even we believe that to be a part of us. And when you define yourself by that, it isn't easy to let it go. It moves rather quickly, and it will defend itself in order to maintain its influence. Mind has an active mechanism. You can start getting lost in mind if you try to fight with it. You should definitely consider reflecting it, like getting space from it by seeing, by observing. They always say in Zen, like the mirror, and that we have dust on the mirror, and we need to brush the dust away to reveal the mirror that was always there, that then reflects the outer occurrence, and see what pulls us into believing we are part of that is the judgment that we bring to the outer circumstance that binds us to it. Because part of the context that we live through will influence how you react to outer phenomena. That's why you have to learn the trick of letting go of these reactions and getting pulled in again and again and again. And you see, there's one of the things the mind does is it always gives you a reason. It always gives you a justification for getting tied up and for allowing yourself to fret about the past or really worry about the future. In many of those influences in the mind, part of what they're influencing you to do is continue to move further into the world, to seek worldly success in some way. Perhaps the television has influenced modern society more than anything in the past ever could. Now the internet is taking it to a whole nother level, and that is forming a whole different kind of mindset that I think is going to strip away many of the harms of some of the angles of television. Now, I don't think everything on television is bad. I think part of why there is hope and part of how we'll see the darkness through is that there are many people that are putting good out there, dotting the landscape. There are many good TV shows, and I also like to learn about anything I haven't known about yet. But just as I was describing to one of my students this week, you still need space. You don't just say, okay, that's it, because it's not yet your experience. It's information But the thing is, if you look at information that way, you can use it much better. If you can free yourself of letting it shape what you see and be the being that assimilates the information, uses the information, works a lot better. And so this is the key threshold that humanity as a whole is starting to come up to. And this is moving into the fourth dimension. Many of the metaphysical topics are generally about things which happen in the fourth dimension. And I consider it the opening of the heart, the vibrations of the earth, the spirit of creativity, and the Divine Mother. And this is a whole new openness and receptivity, a more relaxed state of mind and being, where you can just rest and watch things. And there doesn't always have to be activity. You don't always have to be doing something. You don't always have to be thinking something. You can just watch and wait and feel yourself being alive, breathing and resonating light and just being alive. If there's constant activity by the body and mind, and your focus is always on the outside, you're going to deplete yourself of energy and leave yourself in a position of where you might get sick or be vulnerable to accident because you're simply not paying attention. Another aspect of the fourth dimension is things slow way down. There isn't such a rush. And again, the mind will pop up and try to give you a justification for the rush, for the pressure, for the expectation. But life on the Earth, the planet Earth, isn't like that. It's a product, a byproduct of the world superimposed upon it by mankind. And in the fourth dimension is when we start linking to our intuition and our own psychic ability. Because now that all our attention is not drawn out and all our energy is not depleted, we start seeing that there was a whole universe inside, and we make our first links to the inner call, and we start trusting our feelings and sharing the gifts of our heart unashamedly. And you will start tuning into all sorts of different things. You'll start getting fragments of your past lives bubbling to the surface. You'll possibly suddenly understand a whole new language of symbols, or you'll create your own language of symbols or mythological ethos that resonates with your heart. You'll become aware of nature and the brilliance of life and your participation in it. You will see that you are alive, and you will know what this means. You will begin to take on a new grace and have gratitude for the experience, for the sheer enjoyment and celebration of being here now. And you see from a distance what the mind used to do to you by catching you up in dualities, when from this perspective you can see them as a whole, as complements, not opposers, of that which gives definition to the third dimension. You can see all the knowledge you've been exposed to and use it as a tool to express that which comes from your own heart. And in this slower pace, it seems as if you experience more of life, because there's more of you there to experience it. And it becomes very dreamlike. And in this, we might see or contact or connect with many kind of entities. We know them from our myths and fairy tales. And we all hope that there's some truth to it in the end. And the reason we do is because there is. The beauty of the truth and the realization of life and existence is that what we hope for and more is the case, is in fact true. Then we can be come into contact with our own angels and our own guides, and trusting our feelings and intuition, we will meet more people that resonate on the frequency that we are resonating on, and together we facilitate the transformation and help each other through some of the hardships that occur along the way, because they do occur, and some things are terribly hard to let go of, or very hard to face, or take much time to come to terms with. And really, that's why what we perceive to be as the ascension takes place over time, a little at a time. We could wake up to the whole truth, but it would be too painful. We take it at the pace we are comfortable with, and that's fine. Just as different trees in the forest grow at different rates and speeds, or all of nature demonstrates colors and aspects and fragrances of life, and humanity has many colors as well. So, if for you, you need a good amount of time and you want to take it slow. And delight in that. And there's no need to rush. If you are eager to learn as much as you can, as fast as you can, dive in. Go for it. It's rewarding and amazing. And all someone like me can do is coax you into trying some of these experiments for yourself. And then once you get your first taste of mystical experience, you will see some of what you might have been carrying throughout your life will suddenly relax and become a lot easier. Because there is a higher truth. There is a better way. There is a cosmic order and a life and a love behind it all. And this is what I think is that coming of the age of Aquarius is this, more and more people becoming aware of the language of the heart and the perspective of the heart and incorporating the fourth dimension into their general awareness and into the way they interact with others and experience life. All of what you had in the third dimension becomes illuminated by the light of the heart in the fourth dimension. So the key thing is to begin to cultivate that space and to reflect and develop an inner world, a place where you feel for yourself the experience. Again and again, I'm reminded that meditation is the key. Many masters don't go so far into that esoteric because sometimes they're afraid a true aspirant might get distracted by the many magical things along the way. And whatever we experience, we need to remember not to stop. To continue to allow ourselves to move on and on and on to new experiences. And whatever we have experienced will always remain a part of us. And we'll get more into how that works, not just as a memory, but as an existential truth as we start talking about cosmic mind in the fifth dimension. Before we do that, I want to play the first song of the night, which is called The Planet's Next Phase.
Figure eight of hate that you
Glad to be back. You're listening to the Creative Cosmos radio show, and I'm your host, Chris Moores. And I'd like to take just a moment. I got an email just before the show from Gaia, the one who runs Snodel, our good friend in the Netherlands, snodel.punt.nl, and she showed me a site called Aquara City, and you can check this out if you go to the creativecosmos.org and go to the information center, and down by Mystical Realms, the fourth colored of topic down, Aquara City is the first one in there now, and they translated some of my articles into Italian. And I'd just like to say thank you. That was awesome. I appreciate it. And I will be checking out your site more in the future. And glad to have you linked up and glad to know you. Glad you're out there. And our toll-free number tonight, as usual, is 1-888-268-4313. 888-268-4313, and I'll give you that dial direct just once, 530-876-3222. All right, on to 5D. So kind of in my mind, now I want you to know, it's nothing, these are just things. These things I'm throwing out in themselves don't create a rigid definition. They become, treat them as things to work with, things to play around with, things to experiment with, things to try on for yourself, because they are true for me, and some of them may overlap with your truth, but undoubtedly each of you will develop your own way and your own aspects and permutations of soul expression. And bringing up the soul, I see the soul and the sun as being tied together. And I see the sun could be the aspect. Well, the sun, I see the sun as creator of this area of the universe, like local universe, as Buckminster Fuller says, and it's the source of synergy, pumping in order into this area. And so if you look at it that way, it's easy to see how the Son could be the Father. The Father. There you go. The Father. God the Father. Another way you could, some could say, that's the Son. And if you were just, I often look at, like, what if you're just the person who was dropped from oblivion onto the surface of the planet, and no one else was there, what would you see every day bringing life? You'd see that sunrise, and you'd see how all life opens up to it, and you would open up to it. And you'd say, thank you for my life. So the sun is a source of life for this area. And the soul, see, in the fourth dimension, you start feeling different parts of your soul. And like I say, you pick up past lives, and you may unravel that something happened to you in this life, or you were a man once, you grew old this time, you died young this time, you were a kid, you were this, you were that. And from the fifth dimension, looking back on it, it looks, you can see how people are orbiting, souls are orbiting the earth. And they're diving in and having one experience, and they come back out, and they dive in, and they come back out, and they dive in, and they come back out. And so then, when we see that, and see our whole journey up to the present, and integrate all that, it takes on a new wholeness, a new center core. We now have fully taken up the journey, the progress, and have reunited with all the parts of ourselves that have been scattered all around. And this, I feel, is the I am. The I am, you simply are. You don't need to go over anything anymore because you have become one. And so, you are. And I am. And you can literally tune yourself into the sun. You can link your mind right up to the sun. It's the greatest source of power around us. And again, I'm seeing this idea, or this, well, it's an idea and it's also an experience, but I see it popping up and people becoming aware and remembering again that the sun has a consciousness. And in my understanding, in my own personal choice of symbols and taking from history's lessons, I think that Ra from Egypt, and when you see that pyramid and the eye in the center of the pyramid, I've seen that dude, and I saw it as an extension of the sun, like it's not a personality, but the being. You can imagine a godlike being as a pyramid cruising out from the sun and looking at you. It's like a sunbeam, but it takes on that form because we can see that form. And that's why the pyramids without the capstone would be there. So then that pyramid being, the extension of the sun, comes and rains on that pyramid without the capstone. And so it's been called many names throughout history, but Ra is a real easy to remember one. I know there are other people saying different things about that name, but that's what that name means to me, and I also see that as the eternal I and Ra as being same thing. But tuning into the sun's thoughts and just fusing with the sun, because you remember, you are starlight. I often remind people of that in my articles, that we are starlight. Our chakras are stars, are light. And even behind the chakras, we have our own one white light. Our own sun and our inner sun and the outer sun are connected. When we link our own connection to the source, and through that connection, we don't need to preconceive, because it brings us the awareness of the present. You can know everything that you've ever known simultaneously with reflecting the present and simply meeting it moment to moment on an ongoing basis. And with the power of the sun, the willpower behind what you do, you have the strength to manifest the visions that you're getting through the fourth dimension. And so you can encode 5D perception with 4D symbology onto a 3D surface. And in that manner, you're encoding it, and you can expose someone else to it. And this is what I call artifacts of transformation. It's not simply just art as traditionally held, although there are many artifacts of transformation from the past. Many visionaries that were doing the same thing, trying to awaken humanity to these possibilities by sharing their experience of it. And this happens in many ways, through visual art or through music or through words. But the goal is to awaken awareness, and that possibility in someone else. And that is what remains eternally. Long after a work of art will have turned to dust, the being that was changed through experiencing the encoded symbology indicative of the higher realms, the change that person experiences and will always be a part of them. They will never lose it. And we all affect each other in that way, in so many ways. Another aspect of the 5D, and I referred to it earlier and said I'd get back to it, is that time no longer exists. It's eternally now. And past, present, and future are one. This has been referred to as the cosmic mind by some. And you truly can feel everything is one. Just get out of yourself and imagine it all taking place. Because one way to look at it is this way. We emerge, or we arrive into time, and then we leave time. But when we go back to the place we came from, we see that time was a way to experience events and learn lessons. But that part of us never left this higher place. And we ourselves watch over the body person. Each one of us, soul self, watches over the person in the body, but some people just never make the link or are too full of the noise we referred to in the beginning to make that link. Because you can be your own best friend, not only in cultivating good feelings towards yourself, but by opening up to your own higher self your own soul potential, which already exists. And the sun, as I said before, you can tune into, and you can be, you will be revealed the story of the solar system. Some of what I wrote was my perception of what I received in tuning my mind to the sun, the story, and some of it I didn't know anybody else thought of, like the asteroid planet. And it was amazing for me, a wonderful confirmation to see that some other people were talking about it as well. I know Winfrey out there, he talks about that sometimes. He gives it a different name and has a different story, but we kind of came up with the same thing, that there was a planet there and that somehow life was on it. And there's an echo of that in our solar system. And you just kind of see how, from that perspective, separate. See, another thing about that perspective is you even all of your lives and all of that journey that you were on around the Earth, now that it's all one, that's not coloring how you see things. So you can look back on what happened on the Earth. Tricky to describe, but you another way to say it is you'll be free of the Earth's magnetic field and all of that's contained within it, which is not just the lives on Earth but all the lives and all that are orbiting the Earth in between incarnations as well, and all the beings that exist in there as well. So there's higher and higher levels of activity, but then once we get out of the Earth influence, things are at a much clearer. And we can still perceive all those things in the fourth dimension. But we're also in the same way I described mind influencing things back in the beginning. Well, the fourth dimension also gives us a color. It's the realm of the imagination. It could be just a wonderful, magnificent story that means so many things and has so many implications, but it could still give it a color, a shading, something that we carry with us that interprets what we see. So even that, at some point, we need to let go of and just reflect it all. It all exists. It's all there. And of course, though we're talking 3D, 4D, 5D, it's a continuum. It isn't chunks, but we need ways to understand it. These are just methods of trying to provoke awareness or provoke something in the listener so that they will have the experience. Because I know that words provoked it in me, and reading books and seeing symbols and experiencing artwork provoked this understanding in me. And so I carry on the tradition. And I was considering myself perfectly happy to rest in this sun state in harmony with the sun as the soul and manifest all the qualities that has, be the I am, be the individual, be the presence, and enjoy that. And I had the opportunity to sit with an awakened master who triggered yet more possibilities in me that even the soul and the sun you can hop out of. And just as my mind was discovering that, I felt whirling around either side of my head that I felt to be angels creating a vortex that lifted me right out. And in that space, I suddenly realized that I was no longer bound to the solar system. The whole journey of all my life and all my journeys in the solar system, I could see it all. It's simply an experience. And this is where the concept of remembrance comes in. To remember yourself. Because these things don't just materialize. They're there intrinsically. And just going into the body, we get crushed down and we lose track of all these things. And then part of what gets put into us in the body is believing that that's all we are, and doubt, self-doubt. Trust is a huge part of the unfolding of spirit. You have to trust the process, trust life. See for yourself that if you live your own nature honestly and completely in all the realms, I mean, really we're creating or opening up territory. We're opening up this pathway wide open. That's one big part of what we're doing at BBS is trying to lay it all out there and open this big gateway that you can choose whatever works for you, and many people sharing their experience together. We support and help each other through this process, and the more and more of us that have it, the more it influences everything we do, all of those around us. And this is bringing the light to the world, bringing love to the world. And this is when I recently have been thinking of this third birth, that first we're born into the body, then we're born into life, self-awareness as a conscious being, and then you can be born outside of the solar system, outside of all things, to your higher self. And that's the highest self. I mean, those words just don't do it justice. I don't want to color it. I don't want to, you know, higher, highest, whatever. But it's potential becoming actual. That's why they say remembrance. Because it's you. You recognize it as you, and that it always was you. And then it makes you feel like it shows you that the concerns of the past were for a reason. And usually it was to get you to this new level of understanding, because once you get there, it's naturally healing. It just, the understanding itself heals the pain of the past, because you see why it occurred. And it makes sense, and it all fits. And that's why we can relax, because we can realize that it isn't up to us to control every detail of what's happening. We just have to be alert and aware and watchful and present. And when you remember yourself, you will feel even the stars in the sky as a part of you, as a part of your body. And you feel at home in existence. And it's a friendly place. In this, you could call Christ consciousness, or the Christos, which for me is a name I've been using lately, because it's just a really nice, succinct, clear way to say it. And this is what I feel is 6D. And also in this, you're tuned into the Om, the vibration that is within all things animate and inanimate, because there is no thing that doesn't have the vibration and consciousness of the ultimate truth. And I don't want to give any more names to it. So, as I often do, right in the moment of having these experiences, I try to express myself so that it encapsulated, so it encapsulates the purity of the moment. That's really what my art is all about, is when I have a realization, or I have an experience, or I have something wonderful happen, I try to somehow take a snapshot of it, somehow represent it. So that's my path through ascension, and my understanding and roadmap and mental territory, and the way I've processed what has occurred. So I hope it helps for the record, and I hope it was interesting for you to listen to, and perhaps it even facilitated a realization or two for someone out there. So now we'll go to the tune I wrote. Stay tuned. After the song, we're going to have our guest from Indigo Rising, Ron Searchy. Here's the song to round out this phase of the show called The Christos.
I am the Christos, no longer bound. I'm the Christos, angels rejoice. I'm the Christos, no longer bound. I'm the Christos, hallelujah. I am the Christos, breathe from the soul. I'm the Christos, angels rejoice. I'm the Christos, breathe from the soul. I'm the Christos, hallelujah.
I'm back, and we heard a little bit of another tune, but Don and I were talking about the big breaking news that is right now on the cover of BBS Radio and blogandservice.com. So run on over there and see the red alert, and it's going to be some answers come Monday. So that's what we were talking about, but I'm glad to be back now. And if you are, greetings to the Indigo Rising listeners. I've got a good friend, Ron Searchy, coming up. I'm going to give you the number, give you the bio, and then we'll dig right in here. Here's the number in case you want to call. 1-888-268-4313. Ron Searchy teaches people how to bring mind, body, and spirit into balance using Merkaba, an ancient system of meditation. His website, www.indigorising.net, is a discussion forum that focuses on indigo children. The process towards enlightenment and healing is different and unique for every individual. Ron feels it is very important to provide a space, mind, body, and spiritual, to allow one's own realizations and experiences to come forth. The Merkaba, being vast and organic, allows one to experience aspects beyond 3D, but most important, to establish an ancient way of breathing or the intake of prana, and to make a connection with one's higher self or super subconsciousness. It gives Ron great joy to assist in this most life-transforming process. From his active level of participation in sports to the many years of bodywork and living in Center City, Philadelphia, he feels very capable in assisting anyone who is seeking enlightenment with the Merkaba meditation and the coming changes of our beautiful Mother Earth. Welcome to the Creative Cosmos, Ron.
Bravo. Thank you, Chris. Thank you. I couldn't have read that better myself.
Yeah. Well, I looked it over a couple times before the show.
Right on. Thank you.
Glad to have you on. Oh, man, I'm excited to talk about things tonight.
Yeah, me too, my friend. You have inspired us tremendously with your writings, your shares that you've been throwing up on the board with us, and I'm delighted and honored also to be sitting here with you.
Well, thank you. Thank you. It's wonderful vehicle we have here to express and exchange on air and welcome our listeners as well to this exchange tonight.
Right on. Thank God for the internet.
Yeah, it's quite a thing, isn't it?
Well, this is the information age.
Hey, let's pick up on the ascension theme a little bit. I'd like to hear some of your thoughts about what's going on.
Well, I love the way you... I love your perception of life, and I really enjoyed everything you had to share tonight. You know, as you talk about how we roll into the other planes and whatnot, and, you know, we have to use certain things to label them at this time.
Yeah.
To understand. I really believe we are in the birds and bees of Christ consciousness right now. We're really waking up and re-remembering to such a grand thing that's happening. It's just amazing. I'll go nuts. I can't wait it.
Yeah, you know, I think people just have to realize that, yeah, that's what's happening. We have that potential.
That's right.
That we have that within us.
Well, we are the seeds. It contains the whole. Absolutely.
So along the way, what were some, can you share with the listening audience some of your awakening experience? Did you have anything like noteworthy experiences or huge realizations, or was it kind of slow and steady, or what?
Well,
how did it unfold?
Sure, yeah, I'll jump in a little bit out here. I'll put myself out there a little bit. I've been doing hands-on bodywork for 15 years, so being that close, merging with another being on a table all this time, I was able to have multiple experiences with multiple levels of people from all walks of life, you know, and with this interaction, this exchange with people, I guess I began to just tune in slowly in the very beginning, and it reached the point where energy work came in my life. It really opened up my centers, and I started to see. I started to see the luminous body, the etheric bodies, the chakra system. So many of the old rules were just simply put into the trash can. There was no more debating. There was, you know, no skepticism. It was real simple to slip right into the next process here, or next level of my evolution.
Wow, that's great. So did you feel like it was you were connecting with your soul, or your soul was coming in, like as you were experiencing things, like the greater continuity of yourself?
Sure. I think it's even more beyond that. It's like you're gathering, and you know, it's kind of how like the dolphins are doing right now. They're able to perceive the entire spectrum, you know, 180-degree spectrum of the reality. They're seeing everything, the microwaves, the gamma rays, the alpha waves, you know. And for us, we're only perceiving 1% of the reality. So you're beginning to start to open those perceptions up. And for me, I was not only connecting to other aspects of myself, my higher self, I was also merging and connecting to the universe, too.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of like the two were happening together, and it was a very harmonic thing. And because of that, it was just such a huge leap in consciousness overnight, you know. It was like, you know, how we used to think the planet was flat at one time, not too long ago, you know. And when we realized it was spherical, I mean, what a huge leap that must be for humanity to really, I mean, we should sit and think about that. It wasn't too long ago, and I think it's a good analogy because it's we're doing it again right now. We're in the middle of it. It's amazing.
Yeah, and kind of tying in with what you said about the information age a minute ago, I think that, and how you said, like, in your body work, you interacted with people, and that was part of what facilitated your transformation. I think we're all helping to facilitate each other's by communicating over the internet reaching out to each other.
Oh, absolutely. That's why I feel so blessed that I've been able to be a part of an online community that has had a certain level of consciousness connected to it that has brought people that shared, much like what you do with us, that is just priceless. You know, there are no words. My heart just explodes when I read different threads on the forum, and it's wonderful. And the many that are out there, I mean, I'm not just speaking about the one that I'm connected with. There are so many out there, but I feel very fortunate that I have people like yourself once again, and many of the people who are involved with Indigo Rising who come on a daily basis, a weekly or monthly basis, and just throw one thing out there or 15 things out there and share. The sharing and relationships that are going on right now across the board are just spectacular.
Yeah, and it's amazing. It's pretty much like a telepathic communication where we're really interacting from higher dimensions through that medium.
And I think that that's what the internet is providing, a little bit of a platform for us to leap off of that into what you're talking about right now, even using our higher perceptions of telepathy and whatnot. And we'll no longer need to, you know, go to the technology as like we do today.
Yeah, one thing that I find amazing too, like how you were saying, you know, your site, and you, and for those of you listening, I'll give it out again, indigorising.net, and go check it out. And just the vibe of the place is really welcoming, and it also seems to create. I mean, that's the beauty of websites. It can create a whole world, a whole universe, and a whole way of looking at things that's not necessarily a limited definition, but more just like a feeling.
That's right. You said the key words. Unlimited and feeling. Ah, ecstasy, all rolled up in one.
Yeah, I think that... this kind of thing, this is what I recognize in your site, and I've recognized in some other people, and because I felt it myself, like suddenly I was compelled, is the best way to put it, through my inner world to create this website of mine, creativecosmos.org, and kind of build a world of a sort that was just like another version of that same thing, what you created, and many people have created, like these worlds, these places of where it's safe to talk about these things.
Yeah, and you'll find that truth will prevail, you know. Truth is kind of like a bubble underwater. It's going to rise, and we're seeing that globally now, especially with the various sites and things and various body workers getting together and all the wonderful different ancient traditions coming alive again. And it's just truth will prevail, and it's all congruent. So, it's wonderful to find each other again, you know, because like we're from so many, many of us are from such vast places of consciousness, and here we are on this planet, this little planet together, and it's like we're finding each other, all these light, beautiful light workers, and it's exciting, you know, it's like going to camp when you're a kid.
it's really cool. It really is amazing. I mean, you describe it really well. It's Because there's a familiarity and a,
right.
like an instant rapport almost.
Right. Exactly.
And, yeah, let's explore some of those where you say we're all here on a little planet from many different places. I'd like to hear you carry on that thought a little bit more. Many different
sure.
places, like where?
Well, one of the things that I like to talk about during my workshops is I give the analogy of a water drop and how science, you know, will put a water drop under a microscope and see this whole kingdom of life, you know, mitochondria all working together in this little water drop, you know. And then here we do, we take ourselves and we start drifting out into space and we get past the sun and then we get out and past other systems. And next thing you know, you see galaxies. And all of a sudden there's like galaxy after galaxy and there's hundreds and there's millions of galaxies. And it's like, oh my God. You go back to that water drop and you go back to all those galaxies and then you look at humans real quick. And you're like, wow.
Yeah.
It's like,
nice.
We you know, and the funny thing is that we're fighting each other and stuff like
yeah, and that's just because they're just focused. That's like what way back when I was first talking is if you are dominated by looking out, just looking out kind of causes that fight.
Yep, absolutely. It's such a small perception, you know. You're stuck in polarity. You're looking at things very linear and separate, you know, thinking that everything's separate from you, but really spirit's flowing through all of us, you know. Yeah, there's a lot out there, and I'm just in these last few years really, you know, I'm very familiar with the star system Sirius and the dolphins, and they've come from that area. And Robert Temple wrote a wonderful book called The Sirius Mystery, talking about that whole thing. And of course, the Orion Belt, I know, is a very strong.
Hang on just a sec. I'd love to hear all these. I want to hear a little bit more about those. That what you just described,
Robert Temple.
Yeah, that sounds fascinating.
It's a wonderful book. It was written back in the 70s, I believe. It's been a while since I've read it, but it was one of the books that really woke me up because it was. He talks about this Dogon tribe in Africa. They have on their walls these carvings of star system Sirius, and they had that there's Sirius A, and then there's a dwarf star which is unseen to the naked eye. That's a real dense, heavy star, you know, and it's system B. And, you know, so how our scientists are looking at these, saying how are these primitive people from, you know, umpteen hundred years ago know all this stuff. And we found out that we actually have this helical DNA linkage to it, that we are moving through space connected to it, kind of like how the moon is connected to the Earth. We have this rotational linkage together that forms a helix, a DNA from the star system. Sirius. And all this was talked about through the Dogons, and they described about how the dolphins came in ship and actually filled a big water, jumped into the water and shared with them all this knowledge. This is what this guy
wrote
in this book. Yeah, it was a wonderful book, a fascinating book. And
can you give the title again?
It's called The Sirius Mystery by Robert Temple.
Wow.
I highly recommend it to anyone out there who's, especially if you're connected to the dolphins, because this is where everything's pointing that this is actually where they're from.
Huh. Yeah, I've kind of had the dolphin symbol come up in my life a few times recently, and that's really interesting for me. And you do get the, because the dolphins are completely mammals I mean, it's long been known they're among the most intelligent creatures on Earth.
Oh, please, they've been here 35, 50 million years now. You know, and we sit and think about how, you know, how advanced we're going to be in, like, 2100, you know, when the dolphins have been here for, like, you know, 50 million years.
Yeah, that's fascinating. So, can you illustrate, do you know some of what the dolphins think about what's going on in life or anything?
I am, you know, I don't have a lot on the dolphins. I am attending a workshop at the end of this year let me plug this in real quick. I'm a facilitator for a Flower of Life organization, which was originally funded by Drumvalo Melchizedek. He brought a very primal teaching of the Merkaba light vehicle, the ascension vehicle out into the world. He wasn't the first person. There's been out throughout the planet for a long time, but he just recently brought a certain modality out, which is could be very Western-minded. It has a lot of logic to it, since the Western mind has to see logic to connect to God, so to say.
Uh-huh.
And he handed this over to Ron Holt and Lisa Holt, who are just, I couldn't say enough about them. They're just big balls of light on the planet. And we do a lot that has a lot to do with, we do a lot of teaching that has a lot to do with sacred geometry. And they have a workshop, an advanced workshop, it's called the Seed of Life 2, that takes place in Mexico. And Ixtapa, I know I always pronounce that wrong, Ixtapa, Mexico. And they literally get into the water with the dolphins and activate their Merkaba fields and
wow,
the various things with geometry. And I don't know much about it. I'm going down there this year. I'm super excited to do this. And everyone,
wow, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, people who I've talked to and spoken with that have attended this particular workshop, it's funny when... After they come back, it's kind of like they were just abducted, you know, in Close Encounters, and when they're all coming off the ship at the end of the movie, how they're kind of like in awe.
Yeah, spaced up.
You know, like there are no words, you know, and so this is how these people react after they spend the workshop with the dolphins. And they are in captive, these particular dolphins, but to just know the knowledge of what's taking place, I can't wait to take it to the wild, so to say, play with it.
Yeah. Yeah, I would like to do that sometime, too. I really connect. It'd be great.
Yeah, I mean, they're amazing. Dolphins and whales are so amazing. And I know they're really trying to help us right now. They're really trying to assist us, especially with the activation of our DNA. And it's just an incredible time. You know, it's almost unspeakable. Thank God there are people like you who can really write very well to people like myself. I'm just like... I can't write for squat, and to express what's going on is almost impossible. It's like it's so ADD, you know.
yeah, it's, I just found myself starting to express things, you know, it just kind of started happening. It took, when I opened up to the process, that's where the process led, where it just flushed me out and started encoding things and whole bunch of different ways.
I think you said another key word, you opened up, you know, when somebody can open up, they allow a greater possibility. Earlier you were speaking about, I can get lost in some of your stuff. You really have a knack for talking about certain things on a scientific but yet very metaphysical, spiritual way. I just love it. But you were talking about the rays coming off the sun creating like a cone shape. That's the way we can kind of perceive it, you know, that geometry. And I was thinking, wow, it's just that's the way I see the chakras. I mean, they're just cones, you know, and it's all about emitting energy and receiving energy and, you know, how open you are and all these other things. And it's, you know, I just went on that whole ramble because you said it's been...
Yeah. Well, it is, you know, that's... I think once I try to link people to the process, and once they recognize that something's happening, just encourage them to trust the unfolding of their being.
And to watch it, to have somebody close to you and you kind of guide them along or be a catalyst for them to watch it is priceless, man. I love that process.
It's a miracle.
Yeah, exactly. Just for the record, earlier in an email, I had stated that you resembled like a bear.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, for a record, I'm not meaning like a Winnie the Pooh bear, meaning more like a Hey Yogi bear.
A Yogi bear.
Yeah. You know, Yogi. Hey Yogi.
With the picnic baskets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So not a Winnie the Pooh bear, but like a Yogi bear.
Look at you. Like, I keep seeing the cartoon. Is there a real version of that?
Yeah. No, the cartoon. The real playful one. The one who's just, you know, always into something and always having a good time.
Because,
yeah. You know, just your demeanor when I listen to you online and stuff. Good stuff. It's good stuff. I would love to take a moment to thank everyone at IR.
Sure.
It's a... Thank you. It's a site that really it started with a couple people talking around campfire, literally, kind of like a tale, like you would read in a comic. A bunch of us were attending a Merkaba workshop, a Flower of Life workshop, and we kind of just merged. And we are all under the age of 30 and less, and it just felt this very youthful thing that was taking place. And it started off as a word, and yeah, we got to do it, and it happened. And since then, since it started with this individuals in Philadelphia, it's just taken off. I can't say more for Hamid, who we know as Alchemical Visionaire. He's really been the skin for the whole thing. He's held it together. His brilliance, his strength, his technical stuff, and there's just so many spiritual V. I love you to death. Arwen, Star Dolphin, of course, Flower Power and Wild Child. I love you to death. And our Netherlands friends, Jaron and Ronald and Nyana and Metatron and. God, there's just so many of you. I just
love community.
You so much. Oh, it's just April. I love you to death. Thank you so much. God, I you know, tomorrow I'll be like, oh, what about those other 54?
Yeah.
So many of them that they've contributed for so long now. We've been hanging out for 4 years now. I feel like I have this amazing family online. That Eagle Spirit, I love you to death. Thank you very much. It's been very blessed. And then it just continues to have people pop in once in a while, like yourself. I just thank you guys all so much. You don't realize how there's been times that I'm down and out and just really struggling. And I just go online and I click onto the threads and see what's going on. And I get perked up so much so fast by all the love that's there, all the light. We all know that something's going on. That's the key. You know, that's the real reason why I continue to help IR exist, because we know something's going on, and we're not going to find it out on, you know, radio and TV and the newspapers. And
right.
Like we said earlier, it's important to share, you know, and to go online and share with people across the globe right now. I don't know how many members are somewhere like, I think about maybe 60 active members or somewhere around 300 members. And, you know, just to listen to people talk from around the globe is so important right now. It really is priceless. And not only that, but yet the things that we talk about is just awesome. You know, we go from one topic to another, and it's just there is no limitation. It's very 4 or 5D, and it's very spherical, and it can be masculine at times, but yet it's overpowered by this amazing female energy. And Gems and JP, of course. I'm sorry, JP, I forgot to say you, but oh my God, he contributes so much, JP, so much information.
Oh, you're a dreamer?
Yeah, yeah.
She's been inspiring to
Stars, Stars also, and I know you know a handful.
Ninja.
Right, exactly, Ninja.
Cool. A lot of love in the air tonight.
Yeah,
everybody.
That's you know, and thank you so much, Chris, for taking the time out to talk with me.
That's great.
It's exciting.
Space. We got time and space and nothing more important than expressing gratitude and making the time for each other.
Exactly.
And this is a great time to, I picked a tune of mine to go with the Indigo Child theme. It's the tune I wrote, and I was kind of expressing like what my work is about, and that I hope someday to somebody who's going through the process that it means something to them. It's called Tomorrow's Lonely Child.
Tomorrow's Lonely Child, like a dream. Tomorrow.
And everywhere across the world this evening, welcome to the Creative Cosmos. I'm your host, Christopher Moores. Here's our toll-free number if you feel like giving us a buzz in this last 25 minutes here. 1-888-268-4313. And I would really like to talk to you some more about the Merkaba.
Great.
I read through some of the sites you sent me, and I had some experiences thinking about, or just having in mind aspects just from reading it and knowing you're coming on the show. I had some things happen, and I wanted to talk to you about that. But first, I'd like you to just give us a little bit of an overview, a summary kind of what it's all about. It's a new thing for me, although now that I've learned about it, I've realized that I've had some experiences that correspond with it.
I'm sure. It's an aspect of us. It's you know, people ask me this question. I've been being asked this question now for about 4 years, and I still don't know how to approach it. It's so vast. It's so
amazing. Yeah.
You know, it's so incredible because it's an aspect of you. It's kind of like realizing you had hands at one point, and not only do you have hands, but you have fingers, and you can do all these things with them, and it's, you know, the Merkaba is just incredible. One of the things I can point out is that all of life across the board, whether you're a cat, a tree, a dog, an insect, a human, we all start from the same eight-cell division, mitosis. And from this eight-cell division, at a very early stages, we all start off as a sphere, a little cell, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So right there, right immediately, you're this geometric image, a sphere. And as you begin to split, there's something that's created called the Vesica Pisces, when two spheres are, you know, coming together. So
right.
And right there is, you know, the all-seeing eye, so to say, or we, from what I've learned, you know, as soon as that Vesica Pisces is created, all knowledge across the board of the universe is contained within that.
Hmm.
So from there, you get into three cells, and right there is your tetrahedron, and you get into four cells, and there's your cube. And then from the very early stages of life, all life across the board starts off with this magical way that has femaleness, the spheres, of course, and maleness, if you start connecting the lines. So I think that's an underlying blueprint of what creates all realities, is having this balance of male and female. And then, I'll just jump up real quick and just say that we know now that, you know, we have these fields around us.
Uh-huh.
Many labels form the auras, the etheric fields, the luminous body. Contained within these fields, you have this geometric image called the Flower of Life. It was known universally across the planet throughout many different times, and one of the more modern people known about it was Leonardo da Vinci. He was drawing it all over the place. It's one of the reasons why, you know, it's one of the reasons why he was inventing and doing the things he knew, because he understood this underlying language of sacred geometry, and that's really what sacred geometry is. It's a language. It's a universal language that is expressed in many different forms, whether it's Tibetan or Egyptian or Mayan or the Druids or the Essenes or the Indigenous. It's an underlying understanding of the ratios and the phi ratio and the five platonic solids, things like this. And when you understand this, you can very easily converse with spirit very harmonically, so to say. So with that said, we have these fields around us, and you can begin to counter-operate these fields, counter-rotate them. They're superimposed. You have three, always in three. And with specific breathing, pranayamic breathing, and doing finger mudras to clear the circuits, you can get these fields to counter-rotate and create what is known as the Merkava.
Okay.
The light vehicle.
Can I ask you a question here? I'd like to ask. You brought up the prana breathing, and this is what I experienced last night, and I realized that I had experienced it before, but I had never quite put that name, prana breathing, to it. I was aware of prana as the life force and how it also comes in through the medulla, and aware of many different breathing meditations and have linked to the universe through the breath. But yesterday when this happened, I knew it did have to do with you coming on the show and me reading about this, because it was so clearly this and made the link for me as well, the prana breathing. And could you, let's see here. Okay, when it occurred to me, like I think I read through some of the sites that you said, and it mentioned how it spontaneously occurs to some
Chris,
people.
Chris, if I can have you hold that thought 1 second, I'm having technical difficulties. Can you recall me back on another phone?
Oh, okay. Do you hear that, Don? Are you out there? You can't hear me? Hey, Don? Sounds like we got a recall. Ron Searchy or somebody out there.
Let me give you this new number.
You listening, Don? Sometimes he's on the phone or something. You can't hear me? You can't hear me right now, Ron?
I can, but my phone is dying.
Oh, your phone's dying.
Yeah.
Okay. We really need Don to do it. I'm not the one to call, so we need someone to pop in from the studio. Anybody out there in the studio land? Oh, sorry about this. So I was most usually there monitoring.
I apologize myself.
But, I guess if we could go on.
Well, we'll talk until it dies out.
Or you know what? Call our number. You call our number
from that
phone.
Go ahead with it.
It's 888-268-4313. And then you'll be put through on the guest line. And hopefully that will sound good enough to get us through the rest of the show. All right, we're waiting for Ron Searchy to get another line in, and we're talking about one of his methods that he uses to teach with other people, the Merkaba meditation, and looking through the materials, you see a reference.
All right, so I got him.
You back?
Ron? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
You got me.
All right. You're a little softer on this line, so you're going to have to just speak a little louder.
Okay, you got it.
Okay, so then did you hear my description of what was occurring with my breathing and how I spontaneously went into this pose, and I felt through my breath a portal to a whole nother dimension?
Wow. Well, I mean, we have so many channels in us, you know, and the heart being the most amazing portal of all. Once you even just begin to open your mind up to some of this stuff, it just automatically starts to happen.
Yeah, and I don't know if this was what you were referring to earlier. My hand started taking poses, first in front of my heart chakra, then it went up to my fifth chakra, then up to my third eye, and then up over my head, and I felt like between my hands was an eye, or way up high my crown chakra was.
Wow, that sounds more kundalini. what was happening.
Yeah, it could be that stuff kicks into me too, but I definitely felt that I was very geometric and very much in some of those pyramidal type designs, like on your icon on.
Well, we have the geometries around us. You know, we know that much now, and it's and you can start to sense them. All you have to do is start to visualize them in your mind's eye and hold your hands out, and you can start to sense them around you. You've got these fields. Look at Leonardo's drawings. The thing about the Merkaba is that you have these three geometric images superimposed, one being female, one being male, and one being neutral. And you begin to counter-rotate these fields by specific thought process and breathing at the same time and hand positions, hand mudras. And once this happens, it creates like a toroidal field, a donut, and you have this prana tube that goes right down the center of your body, which is all where all the chakras are lined up on.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is because of the what's happening with the field counter rotating, you pull these massive amounts of prana into this tube, and it's just incredible what happens. I mean, we're all different. We're all wired different DNA, blood type, different ancestral background, different thought process. We're all so very different, but we can have these very unique, similar experiences with each other, and it's incredible to talk with people globally right now who are playing around with this particular technology. It can be known as, I don't like to label things, but it is advanced technology. Only certain people were playing around with this particular type of technology of the Merkaba. There are other ways of activating the field.
Well, that probably goes into a little bit of what I was saying earlier, where
exactly.
Many of us need to take the awakening in time or at our own pace, and if you were to just suddenly apply some of these things, it could fry our brain or really freak us out.
Well, you know, we are kind of like organic computers, you know, and it's one of the reasons why I believe that many of the higher ETs, I don't say higher, but the other dimensional levels of other beings, they can't just, you know, zap in on us because they would fry us, you know. We have to kind of upgrade ourselves on our own terms through direct experiences in life and interacting and all these things.
Yeah, and it'll happen. That's where you just have to allow the process to do its thing, and it really is just like, I also sometimes call it the blooming of the lotus, you know?
Exactly.
It gives a good visual image, and it also has an existential truth aspect to it.
Exactly, right on. See, that's why I love you, Chris. You're a great way of pointing things down.
Well, thank you. I love you too, and I'm glad to have you on tonight and having
Thanks,
a great
man.
Time. I look forward to it all week and love going over these new
well,
ways
what else,
just
what
sharing
else
with
on?
New
what,
people.
What other topic can you and I jump on? Let's I think it's a rare opportunity for people to talk live, you know, on this level with each other. Whatever you got in mind, shoot it.
All right. Well, I know let me ask you something about how you view yourself. Like myself, I'm a guy in this world or whatever, but I also view myself in very many mythological ways. Like I feel like I have angelic energies myself, and that myself, I come from another star system, and that it just came to me. I just know that. I don't, you know, I felt it. I discovered that about myself. And I was wondering if you have any thoughts like that about yourself.
Well, throughout this whole process, I'm not one to really want to talk about myself. I thank you for asking. I can say that throughout this whole process, I really find that I'm just a humanitarian. You know, I love life. I want to see equal rights across the board. I desire for us to really exist on heaven on earth. And I know that I'm going to be here with my eyes wide open, walking through this ascension process and, you know, helping as much as I can, and also witnessing, you know. This is a tremendous thing to witness. And I really think we're in the middle of, you know, and I feel that Mother Earth might already ascend it to higher levels, and we're kind of just still playing out the old patterns until some of us start to say, hey, you know, I'm not sending in that IRS tax this year. You know, I'm not going to, you know, take these shots no more. I'm going to go detox and try something new. And I think the more and more people start to see and realize this, and as the systems kind of fade away and break down before our eyes, I think before we know it, we're all going to be just completely in a new way. And I'm very excited. It's happening overnight.
Yeah, I think that a lot of people intuitively feel it, and some people have embarked upon the journey and made it their own. And what would you say to the people who are feeling the call but have not yet entered into the process or begun to explore some of these different ways, that are just starting to learn that there's more about themselves than they thought about themselves? So how do you handle that, or how do you share that information, or help someone to discover that life is about to really take a turn of events?
Well, I think you said the key words. When people come to realization that there possibly is something else or something going on or something, just inquiring, you know, I think that alone is enough. You know, people wake up in the morning and ask. Got to ask the universe, you know. And if you don't ask, how are you ever supposed to find out? You know, you can't, you know, guru, the word guru is G-U-R-U. You have to go outside yourself and look for the answer. You know, the answer is contained within you, like we were mentioning earlier. And I think the important thing is, the catalyst to that is to actually ask. You'd be surprised. The universe will talk to you, and you and I, you know, I'll say myself, but I'm sure you know deeply, the universe is talking to us on a constant basis, and more now than ever. So, you know, there is no excuse. It's time for us to get up, look in the mirror, and start asking, and that will all unfold the way that it's supposed to unfold for individually.
Yeah,
and then hopefully I get to hear about some of it. You know, that's how I look at it. I want to hear your stories. Share them.
Well, yeah, you know, there's nothing like. I mean, each person has. Humanity. Each person has so much within them, so much potential, and so much magic. It is a wonder to share the experience of awakening with other people.
Right on.
And when you hear other people's versions of what has occurred, it helps you understand your own experience even
Definitely.
Deeper and assist you with getting to know yourself in other ways.
Absolutely, I agree.
Yeah. So, do you, in your life, do you try to remember, do you have any techniques for remembering yourself if you ever forget? Or, you know, because I think one of the tricky things is when we start this, we kind of, in the beginning, it's on again, off again, or you can't continue to, like, be, hold on
sure.
to it all the time.
Sure.
And I was wondering what do you think about that, or if you have any techniques for
Well,
for
I think what you said is right on the money. I think a lot of people, that happens to a lot of people, and it's happened to me in the very beginning stages, but like I said, I was very fortunate. I literally started to see, and because I began to see, I slipped right into very deep levels of it. And for me, the Merkaba meditation, because it's a 17-step thing, it's very left-brained in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's so left-brained in the beginning, it has you counting in a way and being very organized left-brained. And before you know it, it starts to slip into the right brain. And then you're in and you're having this experience. So for me, it's very easy not to forget a modality like that every morning, you know.
Yeah.
It's something that can take minutes, but you can sit there for 2-3 hours, whatever your time thing is. But sound, I always thought sound is just amazing technology, you know.
Yeah,
here
definitely.
Here you are sharing your beautiful music, and I thank you for that also. But sound is an incredible technology, and chanting is a wonderful way to create sound. And Shannon, my partner, my amazing life partner, known as Air Power, she and I had, in a short little time period, went nuts and showing up at all the lectures possible and hanging out with Wayne Dyer and Deepak and Susie Orman and Carolyn Meese and you name it, and people from Omega Institute, and of course the amazing Alex Gray, who I was just
with cool.
a couple weeks ago, yeah. And, got my point to all that. Oh, Wayne Dyer, one of my favorite things from him was he did manifestation for meditation, or meditation for manifestation, which is the sound of awe, the awe being the sound of creation, and Buddha, Krishna, Allah, Yajawa, you know, that have this awe.
Om.
Yes. And, you know, the sounds and all the, and all the, you know, the brilliancy behind those sounds. And so in the beginning stages, I used to play around with a lot of chanting that way. And it, you'd walk away from chanting for 20 minutes to 40 minutes, and you would feel it in your body because you'd be resonating, you know, you'd be vibrating to that sound, so to say. So that was something that I was able to hold on to in the beginning stages of learning how to kind of turn on the mind, turn off the mind chatter chanting.
Cool. Very cool.
Yeah. I'm also, I do a lot with steaming and sweat bodies and heat. And if you can find these kind of modalities and mix them together and stuff, you can really begin to have just off-the-charts experiences. And, you know, once you start having a number of experiences, I just, you know, you get hooked on phonics, man. You know? it's just, you know, it's undeniable. It gets to the point of undeniable. You start to lose a lot of the negative skepticism. It's healthy to be skeptical, but, you know, it's also, I think, important to listen to your intuitions. And just
definitely.
A wonderful time. I don't have enough words to speak about what is going on right now and the awakening that's happening and everything that's taking place and people like yourself holding beautiful space. So crazy cracks like myself can talk out loud to everybody.
Yeah. Well, hey, we've reached the end of our time too, but I'm glad to have had you on the show, and we'll definitely stay in touch over the years as this ascension unfolds. Thank you for coming on.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for all your shares once again, and to all of IR, much love, light, and laughter to everybody. And
we
to
check
all
it out, IndigoRising.net. And we'll end the show with my tune. We talked about the process kicking in. Here's a tune I wrote called The Process. Good night, everyone. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week.
The wind is the year's breath. The water. It's all good.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.